Now, this issue about the night, though, and I agree with your comments, Chuck, that it's he did it no matter the fact that he did it by night and not by day. But I think we need to appreciate that timidity and fear is an essential component to the Christian experience. Why do I say that? We see it here today, these couple of days. Young men are reluctant to get up and give thanks or pray because maybe you're fearful that you may say something wrong, or you're just plain old scared. Because when you stand up in public, you know, you're going to be heard and assessed in your mind, which is true. And I think we've all gone through those kinds of fears. Do you think that as I'm speaking to you at the moment, that there is not some fluttering in my stomach? Do you think I have the capacity to speak without having reservation? If I did, then I'd be too cocky. And something would really be wrong with me. So there has to always be a certain measure of timidity and fear when we do things publicly. So if you're waiting for the day when you're going to be able to publicly speak without reservation, it ain't going to come.
We hope it doesn't.
Don't speak.
Don't speak. That's right. Okay? So the fear and timidity is part of the experience. So how does Gideon work it out? He goes by night. Nehemiah does the same thing if you read in the book of Nehemiah. He does the same thing. He goes by night and he scopes out the land when everybody is sleeping. There's a poem that I love to quote when it comes to the night, and I will quote it for you. My kids hear it all the time.
It's
a poem that I learned as a little kid. The heights by great men reached and kept were not attained by sudden flight, but they, while their companions slept, were toiling upwards in the night. So it is in the night that great things are done. Nicodemus came to the Lord Jesus by night. But then, what happens? He publicly at the cross demonstrated what he had gained. He got Pilate to give him the body of the Lord Jesus. So just to encourage us, the night scene, even though it may imply a certain amount of weakness to some degree, yet there is a lot of strength and power in it.
But the power of the Spirit of God doesn't come on Gideon until after he does that. And see, so he has to, and we see that in our verses that we read today, a little bit further on in verse 34. But to remove those personal idols out of our individual lives, of our homes, that has to be put away before the Spirit of God can come in power and use us in a powerful way in the daytime.
Yeah, I was thinking, John, that it was that he was obedient. You know, what you're saying is absolutely correct. The Spirit of God wants us first to be obedient. God gave him instructions, and Gideon followed those instructions. And because he followed, he was obedient. The Spirit of God now energizes him later down in the chapter to do even greater things. Sometimes as young people we say, well, should I do this? Should I do that? Should I be involved with someone who is an unbeliever? Well, the Word of God says things very clearly about that kind of activity. So we don't have to pray, well, what about this young man or this young woman? We just have to obey. And when we obey, and this is a wonderful thing that you see here in these verses, is that when Gideon obeyed, then he was in the right path. He was in the right state for the Spirit of God to come upon him, to give him the ability now to stand. Because sometimes we don't understand, Gideon is in the midst of a satanic situation. It really is, Brother Chuck said at the beginning, God against Satan. And this is not some little play thing here. God said to him, set up an altar, burn offering, throw down that image, the altar, and he obeyed. And then through obedience, the Spirit of God was able to use him. So I think that that is one of the key formulas, young people, for us, is we have to obey the word of God. And then what we'll see is that the Spirit of God energizes us, gives us that spiritual might in the inner man to be able to carry out greater things.
Don't you think? And I want to go back to where we were yesterday. The first time Gideon built an altar, he had no divine instruction to do it. God didn't say to Gideon, "Gideon, you build your personal altar of testimony." Verse 24. It says that when the Lord said unto him, "Peace be unto thee, fear not, thou shalt not die," it was then that Gideon built that altar. But it was after that altar was built. Remember, after the personal testimony or profession that he had made, the same night, the Lord comes to Gideon with what I think is a test. Now, if Gideon is not going to stand the test of his father's household, we're never going to make it to where he stands with the pitchers and the torches. I think everything would have stopped. Right. I think it would have all been over. But Gideon obeyed. He did as the Lord had said unto him. He didn't make a display about it, did he, Emil? He didn't go out and say, "Look at what I've done." He did what the Lord told him to do, and he went home. And I believe I can say that Gideon said, "Lord, I'm going to leave the results in your hands. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to trust you for what's yet to come."
Can we also say that Gideon was definitely the recipient? He was privileged to do this, because we also see in Samuel, when the Philistines had taken the ark, that I would say in this situation, perhaps there was no one there who could defend God. So he himself cast down it was the idol of the altar in the temple. But in this case, there is Gideon. He is there, and he's now privileged to be able to do this. And so he has no reason to fear either the next morning. So indeed, we should be the same.
That's a good point, because God, he said, the Lord Jesus said, if they stop, the stones will cry out. God doesn't need you, doesn't need me. If you don't want to work, he'll find somebody else. But you lost.
That's
the
right.
Privilege of you being a vessel. Gideon could have said, "Okay, Lord, that's fine. I'll build that altar, Jehovah, God of peace. I have peace here, and I'm going to have no conflict. That's fine. I'll stay there, and everything's fine." But the Lord said, "Okay, now you go out, and you do that." And that was a hard thing. But Gideon obeyed the Lord. I just want to say one thing to the sisters, because you probably sitting here said, "Gideon was a man. You're talking to young brothers. Well, that's fine. We'll just sit and take notes." No. Gideon character, Gideon personality is applicable to any young person.
Amen.
A sister or a brother. Because sisters also have to thresh wheat. Because sisters also, young sisters, go through difficult circumstances. Because also young sisters could be a testimony in their own household. Because also young sisters could influence those who are around them, even much greater than men could do. So don't sit here and say, "Well, these are for these guys. We're going to just sit there and listen." It is also for you. You need to spend time in the presence of the Lord. You need to have a personal relationship with the Lord. You need to be a holy priest. You need to be a royal priest. You need to be able to influence others for the Lord. And reality is this: you're going to grow up. You're going to get married. You're going to have children. And I tell you what. You're going to influence your children. You're going to influence a whole generation for God. You're going to influence your own husbands. So you need to be like a Gideon. It is not only, yes, you might not go out and lead the army. A couple of chapters before that, we have Deborah. Yeah. She said, "Okay, Barak, you go." Yeah. But you know what? She was influencing him. She was giving him instruction. So you have a greater role, if I could say, than even the men. Or so you are behind the scene.
And I think emphasis needs to be laid upon the fact that it is the roles that God has called us to carry on for Him in. When I get out of that, everything is helter-skelter. It's turned upside down. When I'm in the functioning in the role that the Lord has given me to function, whether I'm a sister or a brother, that's the pathway of blessing. If we can just get hold of that. The world's not going to acknowledge that. But we do from Scripture, don't we? That this is where the Lord would have me to function.